Hello and welcome to another episode of
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
I'm Craig.
And I'm Reza.
And we both welcome you to this show which will improve your English, take it to the next level. That means vocalizing your vocabulary, perfecting your pronunciation, and growing your grammar. In this episode, we're going to help you understand and use vague language, which in Spanish I think is vago, isn't it? Vague?
Yeah, vago. Yeah.
So things like, what are you doing this evening? Well, I don't know. I've got to sort out some stuff at home. Well, what stuff? Stuff is an example of vague language. Before we look at vague language, a quick question from one of my students in my FCE class, Vanessa, who asked me this week by email, what is the difference between even though and even so? When do you use the first and when do you use the second? Any comments, Reza?
Yeah, for me, they're pretty similar in meaning.
They are, aren't they?
It's just a question of perhaps the structure of the sentence. For me, basically, the only difference is even though is part of a clause. So there will be no comma after even though, whereas even so will be followed by a comma or at the end of a sentence. Let me give you an example. Even though she never thinks about me, I love Berta. I could say, Berta never thinks about me, full stop, new sentence. Even so, comma, I think about her. So really, it's the same meaning. But even so is generally followed by a comma. For me, that's more or less it.
Do you agree with these direct translations that I've written down here on the paper? Even though, aunque a pesar de, and even so, aún así?
Yep. Sounds like good translations to me.
Okay. Let me just give two more examples so that we get things clear for Vanessa or anyone else who's curious about this. I decided to walk to the library. Even though it was raining, decidí caminar hasta la biblioteca, aunque estaba lloviendo. And even so, I know you don't like vegetables, darling. Even so, you must eat them. Ya sé que no te gustan las verduras, cariño, pero aún así, te las tienes que comer.
And I think one of the key things is, as you'll see when you look at our show notes, is that even so, you must eat them is in a separate sentence. It's not in the same sentence.
Right. Absolutely. Show notes, by the way, at inglespodcast.com/128. Vague language, Reza.
Well, vague language, is it good or bad, Craig?
Well, sometimes let's be vague. No, sometimes vague language can be bad. For example, you go into a shop, you want to buy something, and you ask the price. You want to know the exact price. How much does it cost? If the sales assistant says, well, around 15 quid, quid is pounds, by the way, libras esterlinas, 15 quid, more or less, that's very approximate, isn't it? That's not exact. Maybe it's 16 or 17 pounds or quid, or maybe it's 14 or 30. You want to know the exact price. So in that situation, vague language is bad. Legal contracts and documents should not be vague. We're speaking about legal agreements, and we need to be precise and exact. However, when we speak, we often use vague language. Not so much in writing, but definitely in everyday conversation. Let's look at an example. If I ask you, Reza, for example, what did you do yesterday morning?
Well, I might say I took the number 19 bus into the center of Valencia and bought a pair of blue shoes and a beige pair of shorts in El Corte Inglés. Then I met Michelle for coffee in Starbucks at 12:30.
There's lots of detail in that sentence, isn't there? There's lots of. Do you think all that detail is really necessary?
Probably unnecessary detail.
So how could you say something similar in we're using vague language in more conversational way? What did you do yesterday morning?
I could shorten it and just say, I went into town to get a few things and then I met a friend for coffee.
Right.
Sounds much more natural, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Much and not as boring for the listener to hear all the details.
Yeah, it's not necessary to say the time, the colour of the shoes, the number of the bus. It's just superfluous. It's too much information. So let's look more specifically at examples of vague language. There's the lovely word stuff, which could mean anything, can't it? Stuff, S-T-U-F-F.
There's so much stuff in my bag. Tengo muchas cosas en mi bolsa, ¿no?
Clean all that stuff off the floor or clean that stuff off your desk, for example. Now, stuff is uncountable. It's an uncountable noun. So you'd use a lot of with stuff. A lot of stuff or lots with an S, lots of stuff or much stuff or loads of stuff. Loads, montón or montones, loads of stuff.
Montones or mogollón is mogollón. A nice Spanish word. Había mogollón. There was loads of stuff. Mogollón.
Loads of stuff in the garage.
Or if you don't quite know how to say something, you can use the word stuff. Like, well, what's that stuff you use to make your hair soft? I can't remember what it's called.
Conditioner.
Ah, okay. So you can use stuff because you don't remember a word.
Mm-hmm. Another word similar to stuff that you could use for vague language, which is a countable noun, things, T-H-I-N-G-S. For example, pass me that those things on the table or pass me that thing or thingy with a Y. Would you use that word, thingy?
Yep.
Thingy. What's pass me that thingy over there because you can't remember the name or you can't be bothered to correctly describe it. What's that thingy over there?
Yeah. Craig, let's ask you a few questions. Let's see if we can get a direct or a vague answer from you. Are you going to that thing this weekend?
Oh, that thing. Yeah. I've got a few things to do, yeah. But I might go to that thing. I've got some stuff to finish for work, but yeah, I'd like to go.
Craig, have you got a lot of stuff to do tonight?
Yeah, I've got one or two things that I need to take care of. What about you?
Yeah, I've got a few bits and bobs to do.
That's bits and pieces. Yeah,
bits and pieces, bits and bobs, you know.
Odds and sods.
Odds and sods to do.
Also, you can use vague language for numbers and quantities of things, cantidades. Can you give some examples of expressions for numbers and thing and quantities?
How many podcasts are there about learning English produced in Spain? Loads.
Yeah.
Loads.
There are loads of podcasts. No. Yeah.
But how many are good? Only a few. Only a few. I couldn't give you an exact number, but not a lot. A few.
Well, this one is one.
This is one.
There are a couple. A couple.
Can you name a couple of good podcasts for Spanish speakers learning English?
Apart from this one, there are the podcasts connected to the BBC that are very good. So you can find those at BBC Learning English. There's my friend Luke's English podcast, who I know some of the listeners to this podcast listen to. Another good friend of mine from Murcia, Señor David Palencia, he has a very good podcast. He has a very good podcast at daweingles.com.
I thought for a minute you were going to say he has a very good cod piece. Listeners, a cod piece is an ancient, like a medieval piece of clothing that men wore to cover a very important part of the body. But no, it's not cod piece.
It's not putting a fish in front of your genitals. So there are a couple of very good podcasts in English. Lots of is another expression for vague language. I've got lots of work to do, so it works with an uncountable noun like work. I've got lots of stuff to take care of. I've got lots of things to do this evening.
Craig, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
What colour is my t-shirt today?
It's bluish.
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 Oh, tell me about this word.
I've put the suffix, the ending ish, on the end of blue because it's not exactly blue. It's like a blue, green, turquoise colour. So it's kind of blue. I can say it's bluish. What time are you leaving today?
Two-ish or more or less two.
So two-ish is around 2 o'clock.
More or less.
You can use it for ages. How old are you? I'm 40-ish, around 40.
Although 40-ish. I do love that Spanish expression, tengo 21 años cumplidos. I've always liked that expression. How old are you? 21 cumplidos. After that, well, it's a secret.
So it's 40-ish. And of course, more or less, más o menos. So that's another approximation for a number. I'm 42, more or less. Reza, how many emails do you think I got yesterday in the Mansión Inglés and Inglés podcast email account?
I would say more or less 50, 60.
No, I got loads of emails yesterday. I got loads more than that. I got 117 emails yesterday. Loads.
Really?
Loads
just in one emails. Day?
Yep, just in one day.
That is loads, yeah.
How many biscuits did you have with your tea?
Oh, I'm afraid I had a few. I had 4 or 5, actually.
So again, not an exact number, just an approximation, a few.
One is never enough for me.
Also, you can use vague language to make a list shorter. So if I asked you what you had for dinner yesterday, maybe to say, oh, I had some ham, I had some cheese, I had some salad and that kind of thing, or that sort of thing. Because it's not necessary to list every single thing you had. It gets boring. Mm-hmm. So to finish your list, you could use and that kind of thing, and that sort of thing, and so on, etc., which in English is etc., and things like that, or something like that. All of these expressions to make the list shorter. Reza, what do you like to do at weekends?
I like to take it easy, go for long walks, sit on terraces, watch people go by, drink a coffee, and things like that.
Right. So if you finish your list, just finish it with an expression like that, and things like that, or and that kind of thing.
What about you, Craig? What do you like to do at the weekends?
I like to sleep. I like to rest. I like to lay in bed and read. I like to listen to podcasts and things like that.
I think I know the kind of thing you're talking about. Sleep, beer, podcast, friends, mm-hmm. That kind of thing.
And what kind of food do you eat when you go home to Belfast?
Kind of heavy, typical heavy Irish food. Beef, potatoes, stew, that's estofado, hot soup with lots of meat and vegetables in it, and things like that.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, in the winter it's nice, yeah.
Good winter, hearty winter food. Another expression you could use if you're not sure of a fact is or something. For example, if I'm speaking about my neighbour who has a new car, I could say he's got a flash new sports car, a Jaguar or BMW or something. So that or something is very vague and I use it because I can't remember exactly what car he has.
Before we go on, we'd just like to tell you about our sponsors, Italki. Italki is a website where you can find your own personal teacher. All you need is a Skype account and you can have a one-to-one lesson with a native speaker. It has many advantages. It's very convenient. Also, it's very affordable. In fact, you can look around and choose the teacher that you want according to their profile and how much they charge, There are different prices and different types of teacher. And if that's not good enough, there's a special offer for Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig listeners. If you register through our website with Italki, they'll give you 100 free credits, which will more or less get you a class free. So you can give it a go, see what you want. If you like it, it goes well, carry on. Craig and I would like to thank Italki for being our sponsors.
Did you notice the vague language Reza used when he was speaking? More or less. More or less. It's more or less one lesson, approximately. So, vague language can also be used to be indirect. I'll give you an example. Do you want to go to that French restaurant, Reza?
Not really. It's expensive.
Well, that's very direct, isn't it? It's expensive. There's no doubt. No, I do that. It's expensive. Let's try it with an indirect answer. Reza, would you like to go back to that French restaurant?
Not really. It's kind of expensive. Or it's a bit expensive. Kind of or a bit. That vagueness makes it more indirect.
Mm-hmm. It kind of expensive or a bit expensive. What do you think of Tom?
He sort of annoys me sometimes. Mm-hmm. So using sort of kind of, it makes the criticism a bit softer, doesn't it? More indirect.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot softer than saying he annoys me. He sort of annoys me sometimes, or he sort of annoys me a bit. Another example, I'm sorry, I kind of don't really feel like going out tonight. Which is saying, I want to stay in, but it's a lot softer, a lot more indirect. I kind of don't really feel like it. I'm sorry.
About or around are common and useful words to be vague. As often happens, Craig might say to me, let's meet at 11 to record the podcast. But it's more likely that I'll say, well, let's meet about 11. Or around 11, because I might not arrive until 10 past 11. So I don't want to say exactly 11, because then I might be late. So if I say around, I protect myself. I cover myself.
But it's also more polite, isn't it? If you say to me, Craig, I'll come around today. What time shall I come? And this morning you came early because of circumstances. So if I said to you, well, let's meet about 9:30, it sounds more polite, I think, than come at 9:30, which is kind of like an order, really. Yeah. But that softening of about around 9:30 just makes it a little bit more softer and polite to the listener. It's more indirect.
Yeah. Roughly is another good word, or approximately. For example, when you ask someone how much they're going to charge you for a job, let's say a mechanic who's going to fix your car, he might say, well, I can do this for you for approximately or around or roughly or about 250 euros. But he doesn't know exactly till he's done the job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an approximation. Or how many students do you have? Well, there's roughly 16 in the class. Approximately that number. Roughly. Be careful of the pronunciation of roughly. The spelling is R-O-U-G-H-L-Y, but the pronunciation roughly. Roughly 16 in the class. You can also use vague language when you've forgotten a name or a word for something. As we said at the beginning, thingy, T-H-I-N-G-Y. I don't know the name of the thing on the table. So I'd say to Reza, hey, pass me that thingy on the table. And I point.
Or what's it? What's it that you change channels with? Oh yeah, remote control, that's it. But if you don't remember the word remote control, the what's it? The thingy.
And it's what is it, but it's said together. It becomes one word. So what is it becomes what's it? What's it called? What's it?
And what's it or thingy can both be used for people as well. when you've forgotten the names. Like, you'd better tell, what's his name? You know, the guy in charge of the conference. Thingy.
And thingamajig, would you use that word, thingamajig?
Yep, I do, yeah.
To replace a noun that you can't remember the name of. So take out the plastic thingamajig and then put the batteries in. So you're replacing the word with thingamajig, thingamajig.
Thingamajig and I suppose what's it and thingy as well are words which you wouldn't often write. They're more likely to be spoken.
Exactly. Most of these expressions are a lot more common in spoken English. But they are fairly common. They are fairly common.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't remember the name of something, you could say, what's it called? Or what do you call it? Mm-hmm. For example, you're learning English, you don't know the name of sakakorchos. So you say, I need to open this bottle of wine, but I haven't got a, what's it called? The thing you open bottles with. Ah, a corkscrew. So use what's it called or what do you call it to help people understand you and give you the word you need.
There's another way of being vague about people's names if you can't remember, as well as thingy or what's it. You can say, what's his name? Or if it's a woman, what's her name? Or maybe a bit more impolite version of that would be what, Craig?
What's his face? So what is his face? It goes together. What's his face? Or what's her face? So it's what is her face? What's her face? I got an email from what's her face? You know, that woman from Madrid this morning.
I find what's his face and what's her face a bit more impolite than what's his name. It's like it's quite often from someone that kind of annoys you. You can't really remember, oh, yeah, what's his face? He's always writing to us and he's quite annoying. What's his face?
Exactly, and you would not use that face-to-face with somebody. You would not say, hey, what's your face? Can you pass me the wine?
They would be offended.
You'd always use it like a speaking about a third person, a third party who's not in the room, but you can't remember their name.
Well, Craig, I think that just about wraps it up.
Yep. So it's your turn now to practice because we want to hear from you. We'd like you to send us a voice message. So you can do that by going to speakpipe.com/Inglês podcast. You have 90 seconds to speak to us. You could ask us a question. You could make a comment on this episode or give us an idea for a future show. Send us your voice messages and tell us what you think. If you prefer email, send us an email to me, Craig@InglesPodcast.com.
Or to me, Reza@BelfastReza@gmail.com.
So thank you very much for listening. And if you would like more detailed show notes, you could join our Patreon campaign over at patreon.com/InglesPodcast. And Reza and I would like to take this opportunity to thank our wonderful sponsors on Patreon, who are, Reza?
Lara, Carlos, Farah, Mamin, Juan, Sara, Corey Finnerin, Manuel, García, Jorge, Raúl, Rafael, Daniel, Manuel Tarazona.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to seeing you in next week's episode, in which we'll be speaking about time clauses, which is a question from Ivan from Valencia. So until next week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.